Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 23, starting from verse 1.
Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines, and save Keilah." And David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more, then, if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?"
Now here David comes and sees the Philistines' army are surrounding this place called Keilah. He asked God, "Shall I go and defeat these Philistine armies?" But this time David saw these Philistine people coming and attacking this Keilah city or the place. So he asked God, "Can I defeat these people?" And God said, "Okay, go ahead and you can defeat these people. Why are you causing more problem? We should be peacefully hiding somewhere so nobody can see us." So he called and asked God again and see what God told him, to go and defeat, and "I will give this Philistine people in your hands." Verse 4.
Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand."
Now again he asked God, because people protested and he said, "We should not be going after this Philistine, we should not be rescuing these people, we should mind our own business." So to prove it to those people, he called upon God again, and God says, "Okay, go ahead and I will give this Philistine people in your hand and you will defeat them." His people were thinking the same thing I was thinking, why David want to go and take a fight? He's running from Saul and he should be hiding somewhere. Instead of that, he came to this town and he starts asking God, and God said, "Okay, go ahead and defeat those people." And he destroyed those people, took the loot and everything. They were happy and joyful. But that news went to Saul. And somebody said to Saul, "Do you know, David is in Keilah, and their city has all boundary and everything, and now he's trapped. It's a good idea for you to go and defeat David." So see what happens now. Let's read the verse 5.
So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, "God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars."
As soon as David defeated these people, and he got the loot and everything, maybe they needed some money and some stuff because they are running from Saul, so they need some money, so God allowed them to get some money and loot and everything. And David thought, "Now we will be safe in this place, and I defeated the enemy, so these people might be very happy and they will protect me." But some enemy goes and tells the Saul, "Hey, David is here and he's trapped and it's a good place. Why don't you come and defeat the David?" And Saul thought that's a good idea, because these people are thinking that I am able to defeat David, because Saul has a big army now. He had almost 3,000 people he was taking with him and going here and there. Now David had only 600 people. He had 400 people then. When his brothers and other people joined, and now they became 600 armies. So 600 and 3,000, there is no match for David. But David was trusting in God and doing everything what God tells him. He asked God, God gave him the victory, but he's asking God, "Do you think these people from Keilah will deliver me in Saul's hand, and Saul will come and destroy me?" God says, "Yes, David might be thinking, when I ask God, I'm going to defeat these people, could you give me a chance? He said, go ahead, and you will defeat them. And now God is saying, the same people will arrest you and give it to the Saul, and Saul will come and destroy you. And why in the first place God allow me to go and destroy these people? Some thought will come. But I believe the Philistines are the enemy of Israeli people. So God said, okay, go and defeat the Philistine people. And he got the loot and he got so much money and everything. But when time came, Saul is coming to arrest him. He asking God, what should I do? God says, Saul will come and these people will not be thankful to you. They will give it to the Saul. David has to run for his life. Let's read verse 8.
And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down, as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth.
Now see the situation. David did not say, I delivered you people from the hands of Philistine people, and you are not grateful, you are not thankful, you want me to be defeated by Saul, and you are not thankful. But what happened? Those people are thinking, David has only 600 people. Saul has thousands of people and all the Israeli people and everything, and he's the king. If we try to help David, Saul will come and destroy us because David doesn't have bigger army. So the people sometimes, they are not thankful. People are looking for their safety and their gain and not thinking about how can we help David. But God always comes to rescue David. Here he says he didn't know where to go. He started running for his life here and there. No place to hide. But the word of God says God did not allow Saul to get hold of David and kill David. David is running for his life. And I was thinking, Saul is a crazy man. He has no business running around looking for David and going after him. He is supposed to be king. He is supposed to take care of his kingdom. He is supposed to give the judgment. And he is supposed to be taking care of his kingdom. But he is running after David. But here David asked God, and God told him, these people are not going to be thankful. They are going to deliver you in the king's hand. And the king will destroy you. He will come here. So David has to run. And he's not running himself. 600 people running after him. And those people has to be very dedicated. Otherwise they're thinking, you are a crazy David. You're running here and there and we are running after you. Why don't you settle down somewhere? We told you not to come to this town. We told you not to fight with these people, and God did not protect you, and God did not even did any harm to Saul, and we have to run. What is the use of asking God and fighting for other people? But David was very thankful to God. So far, God did not allow enemy, means Saul, to kill David. So David is running for his life. He knows the days are coming. Saul is going to get killed and I will get my kingdom. But he was waiting patiently for the timing. Okay, verse 14.
And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand.
See, Saul saw looking for every day But God did not allow David to get into the Saul's hand. So God is watching over David, but this is David's the training period. God is training him and his people how to be warrior and how to be strong and running. Otherwise, if they would all sitting in one place, those people will be lazy. But they are running here, running there, and be vigilant, looking for the Saul where he's coming. So God did not allow Saul to catch David. Verse 15.
And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth.
Saul is looking for David, but Saul could not find the David. But Jonathan found David. Easily he came to David, and he met the David, and he said, Don't be afraid of my dad. David might be thinking, You are foolishly talking about your father is running after me. You cannot control your father. Nobody can control him. He's like a madman going after my soul, and you're telling me that he's not going to kill me. Jonathan comes to David and talks to him secretly. He says, You know what? One of these days, I know you're going to be king. And when you're king, make me maybe a prime minister or your assistant. Because I know for sure God is going to give the kingdom to you. And he says, My father also knows. Because you remember his father told him, As long as David is alive, you're not going to be king. So he said, David is going to be king, and so my father knows that one of these days you're going to be king, and so I want you to promise me, make a covenant with me, that you will take me as your assistant. And they made a covenant again. Verse 18.
And they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house.
They made a covenant, even the Jonathan says, You know, David, you're going to be king one day, and I'll be your partner. My dad knows that. They made a covenant with each other, but Jonathan didn't have the courage to say, Okay, David, I'm going to join with you in your army. If he would have joined with his army, David's army, his father will be very mad because he has to fight against his father. So Jonathan was a very humble, nice, loving person. He said, Okay, this is the deal. My father is not going to kill you. One day you will be king, and I'll be your partner. And then he goes to his own house, and David is running for his life. Verse 19.
Then came up the Ziphites to Saul and Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hachilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand.
The place was a zip, and that place, there was a lot of hiding place and everything. So one of the person from Zip, the citizen of that state or place, goes to Saul and say, You know, I found out David is hiding in our wilderness, and so please come and you can arrest him or kill him. And I know the place, hiding places. I'm from that town, and I'll show it to you. So please come and I'll show you the place where David is hiding. So see what the Saul is saying. Verse 21.
And Saul said, Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me.
Now here, Saul is praising this man and thanking God. I was thinking here all of a sudden, he became a religious man. He's saying, Oh, I'm so thankful to you. I thank God for you. And you are a good man that you have compassion on me. He's thinking, David doesn't have compassion on me. but you have compassion on me. You are a good guy. Now he thought, maybe I'll get a good job from king. Saul says, now you're from that town. David is a very, very smart person. He's not going to stay in one place, but you better go and find out exactly where the place is. Then you come back to me, and then I'll come with you, and that's the plan. Let's read the verse 22.
Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there. For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself. And come ye again to me with a certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah.
Yeah. I will come with you, but you go and find the right place and come. And in Judah, any town of Judah, you tell me, I know all the places, and I can find out each and every thousands of Israeli people are here. So he knows every village, every town, and I can find out. You have to exactly tell me what place and give me the address, and I will find out. There is no problem for me to searching and finding out the David. But just go and tell, and you come with me to guide me. And they made an agreement, and see what happens. Verse 24.
And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David. Wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon.
Now, he found out David is in somewhere in the Rocky Mountain. So there is, David cannot escape from there. And Saul has so many armies. So what they planned was surround the David. He cannot run. Anywhere he runs, there will be army. So they are going to circle around and trap the David. That was their plan. And see what happens. Verse 26.
And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them.
Now see, David was a little bit afraid of these armies and Saul, and he said, I don't know what to do. But he escaped from there, but he could not go anywhere because this is a big area, mountain area. Saul's people are going to surround him and trap him. So he's trying to get one place to another place, but he was surrounded. Verse 27.
But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land.
Now see, he was surrounded, and there was no way David can escape. And he was afraid. Doesn't say here, this is the time David's supposed to be praying. This is the time David's supposed to be thinking, Lord, I'm surrounded. But when you read the Psalms of David, he has written, but in this chapter is not. He was written that enemy has surrounded me and things like that. So that David was trapped. 400 people were trapped. And all these 3,000 of warriors surrounding this place, and David has no place to run. So God does some miracle. God sends some Philistines army to Saul's town, and then somebody comes and says, Saul, the Philistine people are coming and attacking us, so please come and help us. So he has to run from there and go and take care of the enemies. Let's read the verse 28.
Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selah Hamalekoth.
Okay, this is a big name, but the meaning is the rock of escape. He said, thank God I came to this rocky mountain. I was hiding in this behind the rock, and Saul got some kind of news, and he ran away from here, and the place called the the rock of escape. See, when you come to the rock, who is the rock? Jesus Christ. God rescues you because Jesus Christ is our rock. All the enemies, all the devil, whatever he brings the devices, if you are hidden in the rock or Jesus Christ, enemy cannot do any harm to you. So it exactly happened. David was safe, and Saul and his armies all left. Saul didn't have any wisdom. He would have said, okay, I want some people watching here, but you stay here and I'll be back. And we are not going to allow David to move. But this was God's doing, and God's protected David. Verse 29.
And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi.
Now David escaped from there and went some other places, stronghold, he says, the place called Gedi. And there he's hiding. And now see what the Saul does. Even though he went back, and the Philistine people came to know Saul is coming, they might have ran for their life. And now Saul, supposed to be thinking, thank God, God did not allow these Philistine people to attack us, so we should be guarding our people. We don't want to go and run after David. But crazily, again somebody comes and says, hey, Saul, David is here, and this is a good place, he's trapped, come back. And he comes. We are going to start 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1.
And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats.
Now, here again, somebody comes and says, hey, David is in En-Gedi, let's go. And he comes with 3,000 warriors. And this place is also a dangerous place. They says wild goats are living in there. And there was a place the shepherds will be keeping their sheep there. So there was a big tunnel like a cave, not small, very big. You will know because David's 600 people were hiding there. David is hiding there. And so you can see how big that place was. So there was a big place, and David and his people were hiding there. And see what happens. Verse 3.
And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave.
Now here is saying, all David's army, 600 people, including David, sitting there, hiding from Saul. And see what happened. Saul goes there for bathroom. Now, when you're going to bathroom, he cannot take army with him or soldier with him, so he has to go alone. Here, they don't say anything. They say they cover his feet. It's not covering feet. And some other places, they will say he went for his need or something. So, he actually went to bathroom. He might have kept his robe one side, and he might be thinking, there's a dark there, cave, there is no light, there was no torch light in those places. So he might be not too far, he might be in the cave's door where the light is, his back is there, and he's looking at where the cave door is, so he's thinking, if any enemy has to come, they will come this way. But the enemy is already went inside. Saul is trapped. Here is saying, some of the David's warriors saying, you know what, God told you that one of these days I'm going to bring your enemy in your hand and do whatever you want to do. But that was not recorded anywhere what God said to him. But I think this was the David's idea, and he might be telling his army, one of these days God is going to give him in my hand. And so, see what happens. verse 4.
And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord has said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt.
David's army, one of the soldiers, they said, Hey, listen, as you said, as God told you, that he will give you your enemy in your hand, and you do whatever you want to do, God is not going to say, why did you kill Saul? So David said, okay, and he goes, instead of stabbing him, just cut some the his robe. He told these people, don't do anything, don't do any harm to him. And even though he cut the rope, the word of God says, verse 5, he was feeling sorry that he cut the robes, little bit piece. He started thinking, just like stabbing the king. So he felt sorry, why did I cut his robe? But he did it to show it to the king that you were in my hand, I didn't kill you, God gave me you in my hand, even though my people wanted to kill you, I did not allow anybody to kill you, and I did not kill you. That's the only reason I cut this piece, to show it to you that you were trapped. But he was still feeling guilty. Why did I cut the rope of the man of God? Do you know the same Saul? He tore the robe of Samuel, and he did not even feel bad. He did not even say, you are a man of God, and why I'm tearing your robe, could you forgive me? But see the difference between David and Saul. Saul is a crooked man, he is a madman. David is a child of God. Even though he cut his robe, not in the middle anywhere, just the bottom of it, little bit, and he felt bad. So see what happens, verse 6.
And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way.
David did not allow one of his soldiers to kill. He did not kill. And Saul finished what he was doing, and he went out just like nothing happened. And he went out. Now David is trying to challenge him and tell him, you are doing foolishly. You were in my hand, I would have killed you. Let's read the verse 8.
David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself.
Now see, he called upon the king. King saw him, he might be shocked, because now David is not too far. He might be a little bit higher ground. And he called the king, and king turned around and looked. He might be thinking, how I missed the David. So David, when he called, he bowed down to him, and he humbly is telling, you are a king, and I gave you respect, but you do not know what kind of person I am. Let's read the verse 9.
And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.
He is saying, some of the men told me to kill you, but I didn't kill you. But you won't believe me, but I have a proof. Here is the rope, your rope. Looked at him here, right? So he said, you were in my hand. I didn't kill you. But you are after me and trying to kill me. But I have decided in my heart, I am not going to raise my hand against the anointed man of God or the king of Israel. But he's trying to say, I am so nice with you. I'm not killing you. But the other people are telling you, David wants to kill you. And that's why you are after me. So he's trying to prove it to him. I am not after you. I don't want to kill you. Why are you coming after me to kill me? Verse 11.
Moreover, my father, see, yea, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it.
Now he is telling him, my father. Now he's actually is in father-in-law. So he says, you're my father. Why are you coming and trying to kill me? I would have killed you. But you are coming after me to try to kill me without a cause. Because he did not do any harm to king at all. He never said any bad words or any foul language. Or nobody can prove it to the king that this David was saying bad about you. Can you imagine this David's nature? Even that this enemy is trying to kill him again and again, but he never said anything to his army or anyone. If you find him, you kill him, then he would not say, I kill him. So you people do whatever you want. He never said anything like that. He was taking care of king and protecting king. So he's saying, why are you hunting me? I did not do any wrong to you. Verse 12.
The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee.
Let God judge you. I'm giving you in the hand of God. And I believe that your hand, you are not going to touch me. You're not going to do any harm to me, because God is watching over me. So I'm warning you, if you come after innocent people, then God is going to judge you. That's the way to do it. Some people are trying to bother you, and they are stronger than you, and you cannot harm them. You simply tell them, God will take care of you, because I am protected by God. What the word of God says, our God never sleeps, he never slumbers. He always watching over us. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, he says, when you are born again child of God, he sends the angels to minister to you. We are not ordinary people. We are children of God, and God loves us and he protects us. Sometimes we get scared like a David got scared, but God is always watching. And now God is giving David a boldness to talk to him that someday God will take care of you and God will judge you. Verse 13.
As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee.
Now here is he telling Saul a proverb. He's an ancient proverb. Saul already knows this proverb, that means. He's saying the proverb says like this, the wickedness comes out of the wicked person. So that means you're wicked and wickedness coming out of you, and I'm innocent person, you are coming and bothering me. So let me remind you, there is a proverb, there is a saying. Verse 14.
After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea.
He's saying, think about it. You are the king of Israel. You have thousands of army with you. And I'm running for my life. And I am like a dead dog. Dead dog cannot bark, cannot bite. So he's saying, I'm like a dead dog. I'm not barking after you. I'm not going to bite you. I'm not going to do anything. I'm like a dead dog. So you are chasing the dead dog. So you are doing wrong thing, or you're chasing a flea. So he says, you are after me, but you don't think that you are doing something wrong. I am not doing anything wrong. Why are you after me? He's trying to make some sense to king. Verse 15.
The Lord therefore be judge and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand.
Now again he's saying, God will judge you. And God will tell you who is the criminal, who has the problem. You are the one causing this problem. I didn't do anything to you. Let God make sense to you. And God is going to judge you. And God is going to deliver me out of your hand. Indirectly, he's saying, you're running after me, but you're wasting your time. Why don't you go and do your job? What God has anointed you, but he did not do his job. Samuel already told him, your kingdom is already gone. You tore my clothes, robe. The kingdom is given to somebody else. But at that time, David was only 17 years young boy or 18 years old. So God could not give him a kingdom at that time. In those days, they were thinking you have to be at least 30 years old to get some good position. That's why David is running and he says, you are running after me. God is not going to deliver me in your hand. You are wasting your time. Verse 16.
And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept.
Now he heard everything. He did not interrupt David. He listened everything. And then he says, who is this? David, you're my son. Is that your voice? And he wanted to make sure this is the David. Not only saying, this is your voice, but he wept. Now this king, you can see, he got a repentant heart. But sometimes there is a saying called crocodile's tears. Because some people really genuinely they get saved. And some people get saved for a while and they forget about God and they do whatever they want to do. That's the kind of thing happening to Saul. He was feeling sorry about himself. I would have got killed. And that's the reason he's crying. He is not crying to make David happy. And he's crying and he's weeping and he's thinking like he's a changed man. And see what he's saying, verse 17.
And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil.
Now he says, David, you are more righteous than me. You're doing good things, and I'm rewarding you doing bad things. So he came to know that David is a man of God. David is not going after me. David doesn't want to kill me, but I am foolishly going after him, and I am doing evil thing. He is doing good thing. He recognized, but he did not change his heart. He did not say, I'm not going to come after you anymore. Don't be afraid. Things like that. Verse 18.
And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killedst me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day.
He says, I never saw anyone, if the enemy comes in his hand and he let him go, I never saw yet. But you did not kill your enemy. So he said, I'm surprised. Okay, verse 20.
And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand.
Now he says, I'm sure one day you're going to be king. And not ordinary king, you will be a great king. And so he realized, I am just wasting my time. I should have let the David be in my kingdom. Let him help me. And together we can defeat the enemies. And when I die, he's not going to take my kingdom. I can die in the old age. And then, if my son doesn't want to be king, if David wants to be king, let it be. But he was selfish. He was thinking, I want my son to be king. He's just fighting for nothing and it's not going to work, but he is just doing his with his own power. And God did not allow David to be killed by him. But now he realized one day he's going to be king. So he says, I'm going to request you one thing. Please don't kill me or destroy me and my family's name. Be nice with my family. Verse 21.
Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house.
Now he says, make a promise. Swear that you are not going to kill me or my children or my family, and you are not going to destroy my name from my family. So make a covenant with me. Make a promise with me. And so he is trying to, even though he's in fault, but he is trapping David. So David has to make a covenant with him. When David promises, David will never do any harm to him. So he is trying to tell David, can you make a covenant? David already made a covenant with his son Jonathan. And Jonathan already said, you know, you are going to be king. My father knows you are going to be king. Maybe they were talking in the house, and Jonathan, one of these days, David is going to be king. And if you want to be his prime minister, that's okay with me. But I know one of these days is going to be king. So now he's telling David, I know you're going to be king of Israel, but don't harm my children, and my name should not be taken out. Be nice with me and my family. And so what David did, David promised. Let's read the verse 22.
And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men gat them up unto the hold.
Here it says, David swear, David promised him, I will never do such a thing. I will never kill you. I will never kill your family members. And I will keep my word and I'll keep my promise. And now Saul has nothing to do, because he knows that I cannot tell my people, arrest David and kill him. So the Saul goes home. He said, enough, I'm not going to fight with him. Otherwise he was there. 3,000 people can surround him. David is standing alone. All the other people are hiding somewhere. It was a good chance for him to kill the David. But God did not allow him. And the words of David made the king guilty. And he thought, I'm doing wrong thing. So let me go home. So he went home. Saul admitted. He cried. He wept. He knew that I'm going to be king, and he's not going to fight with me. Now he's going to go home. He went to his own house. David didn't believe. David did not believe the king. He thought, this is a madman. He's going to come after me. And so that David is running for his life, and he went somewhere and hiding. And that's the way chapter finishes. David got some kind of idea. Saul is not going to change. So he is not saying, okay, Saul, you're not going to kill me. Jonathan just came and told me my father is not going to kill me. I did not believe Jonathan, but from your own mouth, you are telling me you are not going to kill me, and you promise and I promise you, can I come back home? He didn't ask. He didn't say, can I come back? Let's go home and let's take care of this, our enemies. The Philistines are very bad people, so we are going to join. He had a chance to, okay, I'm coming home, and promise me you're not going to kill me. I'm going to go to my parents' house. I'm not going to go to your palace. Let's be friends. But the David did not believe the man. Now what David does, he goes back to Philistines. He goes to Philistine king. You remember the king told him, take this madman away? Now he's going back to him. I don't know what he does. He goes and tells him, you know what? Saul is my enemy. He's not telling this king, Saul made a promise that he's not going to kill me and he's okay. He's telling him, I'm going to join with your army. David joined with this king. Not one day or 2 days, more than a year. And when I heard that, I felt bad about David. Why David is a man of God, and he doesn't want to kill king, and now you join Saul's enemy, you are 600 people, and if there is a war between Saul and Philistine, you have to go and fight your own brethren. So he joined with them. So we will be looking at later on. So there is the chapter finishes. We are going to learn later on. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you for your grace and your compassion and your love towards us. Protect us from all the dangers and harms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.